Welcome to the Hamilton Spectator Newsroom Insider podcast. I'm Joanna Frikicich, and I'm the health reporter here at the Spec. In this episode, we will take a step back in time and talk to reporter Mark McNeil about a local artist's exhibit on the carports of Pleasant Valley in Dundas. We will also speak to managing editor Jim Poling about a Spectator investigation into the rising threat of street drugs laced with deadly substances. Thanks for listening. The Carports of Pleasant Valley studies the mid-century post-war suburban architectural detail that was replaced by the garage. Here to talk to us about the art exhibit running June 2nd to June 25th at the Carnegie Gallery is Hamilton Spectator reporter Mark McNeil. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me, Joanna.
So how did this story come about?
Well, this fellow Francis Fugere I met a few years ago, he had actually come to the Spectator as part of the Google team that was filming the insides of buildings to add on to Google Maps. And I wrote a story about him at that point in time. So he sent me an email a week or so ago about this new photo exhibit that he was doing that sounded a bit quirky, and kind of neat actually, called the Carports of Pleasant Valley. Pleasant Valley is a little community, little neighborhood in Dundas, which is in a valley, and I went there, and people seem pretty pleasant. but more than that, there are a lot of carports. That's the thing you notice when you drive along Pleasant Avenue, and it's a real kind of 60s time warp. And this was not lost on Francis, who used to walk his dog in the area, and he thought that this would be a splendid topic for a photo exhibit. So what he did is he went up to these people and left notes, or went up to their doors, left notes for them saying he wanted to photograph their carport. And surprisingly, I guess, some of the people actually said yes. And he ended up with about 20 different photos in the end. Now, he shot them in color, and they didn't quite like the look of that. And he put them in the black and white, and then he added infrared to it. So the exhibit's quite neat, actually. It's kind of a throwback to an era that Beaver Cleaver would have liked.
And what did you think when you saw the photos yourself?
Well, I thought it was he captured the neighborhood quite well. I thought I wasn't aware that that we had this this little bit of nostalgia in Hamilton on Pleasant Avenue, so it all kind of came together for me as a interesting homage to the way things were back in the Cold War, flower power. Some of these houses actually got a sort of Frank Lloyd Wright look to them as well, which is kind of neat.
And what struck you most when you did the interview with the artist? Was there a moment or a story that stuck out the most for you?
Well, the other way he came at it is he didn't actually grow up in Hamilton. He grew up in Montreal in a suburb, and they had carports in Montreal as well. His neighbor had one, and there was one across the street. I guess he kind of had a bit of a carport envy that all his friends had them, and he didn't. And he remembered when he was a kid that when it started raining, the first thing they'd do is they'd head for a carport to protect themselves and continue playing. So I guess he sort of carried this this forward all these years later, moving to Hamilton, and then felt at home, I guess, walking through this neighborhood, and then decided to turn it into an art form. The other thing that struck me is it kind of reminded me a bit of the movie Pleasantville. I don't know if you've ever seen the movie Pleasantville, but it's kind of about this small town, and it's all filmed in black and white. And then when liberal ideas kind of come into the town, the people turn become color. And so he kind of worked in reverse. He started off with color and then went black and white.
And what do you think people will get out of the exhibit?
Well, I think they'll find it kind of fun, and especially people of a certain age. You know, if you're over 50, over 60, I think it'll kind of strike you about a certain period of time.
That's great. Well, thanks so much.
Well, thank you.
Youth are using fewer drugs in Hamilton, but a Spectator investigation has found the drugs in the street are increasingly dangerous. Here to talk about teens and drugs is Spectator Managing Editor Jim Poling. Thanks for being here, Jim.
Well, thanks, Joanna. Happy to be here.
And so how did this story come about?
It's an interesting story, and really it came out of a lot of conversation we were having in the newsroom. Canadians know that there is a big conversation going on about fentanyl and opioids on the street, a deadly, deadly crisis, a crisis that medical professions say they've never seen the likes of. We've done much deep reporting on that, but the conversation took a different turn when we asked, what do we know about drugs, and what do we know about, for those of us that have kids in school or in our homes, what do we know what the real politic is around drugs?
And so this story is unique in that it was the investigation was done by Niagara College interns Ryan Thorpe and Alex York. Can you talk about, you know, how that came about?
Sure, very much so. So each year we take on some interns who are looking at developing the school, the skills they learned at school, and would like to practice them in a newsroom. Niagara College provided Alex and Ryan, who are two very, very adept young reporters. And when they came to interview, we talked about this idea, and they were quite keen to do it. They were familiar with the topic, largely because of age and social circles and what they'd seen in school, and it was a natural fit. So we thought, who better to investigate and talk about and write about drugs in school and among a certain demographic than two people who are in that culture.
Mm-hmm. And what about the results struck you the most?
Well, it's interesting. Not that Ryan and Alex, that they're not drug users. I'll just qualify that right here. But they certainly, like many of us who have gone through school, they've seen drug use. They've been in social situations where there's drug use. They've seen it at the various schools that they've attended. So what was interesting, the stories they were telling were not dissimilar to what people in their 40s and 50s and 60s experienced when they were in school. Mm-hmm. The main drug of choice still seems to be tobacco, as in marijuana, and alcohol. Mm-hmm. What is new is the rise of certain kinds of street drugs or manufactured drugs that are increasingly deadly and very potent and uncontrolled.
Mm-hmm. And so what would you like readers to get out of this story, or what are you hoping that the public will sort of get out of reading this story?
Well, it's a little bit edgy in that it's not intended to be a how-to for drugs, but it's a ground-level conversation about what's going on in society, what's going on in some schools, and, you know, what's going on when kids are going to parties or Friday night or Saturday night situations. It introduces a vernacular that some people may not be familiar with. There's some terms that I certainly didn't know about, and there's, frankly, there's new drug paraphernalia that, just because of technology, people are ingesting drugs in different ways. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's waxes, there's pens, there's inhalers, there's a variety of new tools, I guess, that some parents might not be familiar with.
And the Spectator, this is just one example of the Spectator's commitment to investigative journalism. Can you talk about, why it's so important to the Spectator to do this kind of work?
Well, I think it's insightful. I think there are conversations that happen. I think it's important to reflect what's going on in homes and hallways and in, you know, some cases, offices around the city. It's a topic that's out there. And we're reflecting back that and hopefully bringing some insight and some context to people's lives.
Thanks very much.
You're welcome. Happy to do it. Thank you.